Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
I want to welcome you to Wisconsin's Morning News Holiday Special 2025.
Well, and New Year's 2026.
That's right.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, Eric.
Happy New Year to you. Merry Christmas.
And to all of you. So what we have planned is a couple of hours of some of our favorite moments from the show over the last year. A little things that are holiday focused, but not in its entirety.
Sure.
Show.
Yeah. You'll hear from some of the newsmakers we had in studio with us throughout this past year.
Why don't you just tell me what you're going to hear? No, I'll give you hour one, okay?
Okay,
so we've got 2
right.
hours ahead. And in this first hour, we're going to start off on a holiday theme, the We Energy's cookie book for this year. Major victory for me this year.
Yeah, you won the contest.
So We Energy's last several years has started this thing to sort of build up anticipation for the release of the book, and some of us are invited to participate in a cookie tasting contest. And my group won this year.
Yeah,
major, it's a major award.
It's so, all you talked about every day after.
Every day. It's up in the – I don't think it should have to hang anymore. But we will talk about some of the really nice recipes in the We Energy's cookie book for this year and where they came from. Katie Couric, our friend formerly of UPAF, but big – just a music theater junkie, joins us for actually all of the shows that have and are continuing to some degree here over the holiday season.
Speaking of music, here's a little something for you. I want you to think about this. What song was originally written for Thanksgiving, not Christmas? Now, you got to think about it. Think about it in this way. What song may not have Christmas in the lyric? What song may not have the joy of Noel.
But it's now considered a Christmas song?
Correct.
I don't know.
It's Jingle Bells. Written in 1857. It was written for a Thanksgiving church service.
Dashing through the snow on a one-horse
open sleigh. And that's actually what was the original title of the song, was One Horse Open Sleigh.
We actually had snow for Thanksgiving this year. Yet no snow for Christmas.
Yeah, it's
interesting.
Amazing how that works out like
we
that.
We got that one backwards. Well, thank you for that nice piece
of trivia,
Ed. Anything to get us started here on the Wisconsin's Morning News Holiday Special. So, well, great to have you with us in this holiday season. Eric and Vince with you for the next couple of hours. Greg Pancake Hill producing the program right here on News Radio 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back, and thank you so much for making the Wisconsin's Morning News Holiday Radio Show part of your holiday. So, nothing says the holiday season like going to the theater and taking in all the sights, sounds, and musical performances that Milwaukee has to offer. Friend of the show, Katie Couric, here to detail and highlight all of the best shows that came to Milwaukee and are still yet to come. Take a listen.
Well, let's start with Milwaukee Repertory Theater's A Christmas Carol, 50th Anniversary Edition, Katie.
Yes, 50th anniversary of A Christmas Carol. So this beloved tradition has really been a Milwaukee staple, and it returns this holiday season to the Pabst Theater. So it's the perfect thing to bring the whole family to enjoy the timeless tale by Charles Dickens. Enjoy the snow in the Pabst Theater. That's always like one of the best parts.
I'm anxious to see, actually, because the set required some extensive rebuilding. They lost so many of the costumes, and it was a struggle just to get this thing ready to go and to stage because they lost so much of this in the flooding back in August.
Yes, in their flooding. Yes, this was, I think, one of the biggest things that they lost was their like entire Christmas Carol set.
Sticking with Milwaukee Rep, and this won't take you all the way through the holidays, but it does run through mid-December. Come From Away, it's the first big show in the rebuilt theater space there.
Yeah, so Come From Away, the story of the Plain People from 9/11 in Gander. So the size of this small city double tripled so many by all of these people who were grounded on 9/11. And it just was such a great musical of hope and survival and just a community joining together. It's one of my personal favorites of all time.
And speaking of traditions during the holiday season, Milwaukee Ballet doing Nutcracker again.
The Nutcracker, Better, Grander, all the things. This is their third year, I believe, of this current production of the Nutcracker, Drosselmeyer's Imaginarium. So that opens December 6th at the Marcus Center. And that is another great introduction of to the Milwaukee Ballet for so many.
Katie Couric is with us, friend of the program and our theater correspondent for Wisconsin's Morning News. Let's go over to First Stage. This, for many young people, is maybe their first opportunity to see a real show, a real play. And they're changing it up. Something new this year at First Stage for the holidays.
Yes, they have great shows every year for the holidays. And, like, we love the classics that they do every year. But this year they have a world premiere holiday show. So it is based on Mo Willems' beloved children's book. So they really kind of are putting, like, all his characters into one show for The Pigeon Gets a Big Time Holiday Extravaganza.
I love the Pigeon is like, if you know it, because The Pigeon is like kind of this funny looking illustration, right?
It's a silly pigeon. And then what's the first book? A Pigeon Drives a Bus?
I think The Pigeon Drives a Bus was our first. And The Pigeon's done many things since then.
Yes, The Pigeon. A short run at the Marcus Performing Arts Center for Dr. Seuss, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. This doesn't even take us into December, but it's what that looks like Thanksgiving week.
Yes, that's the week of Thanksgiving. So that's part of their Broadway touring series. So I actually saw this a few years ago when it came through town. It is so cute. It is 85 minutes, another no intermission, so perfect for the whole family.
I don't know if Home Alone falls under your...
It's not a mandatory watch, but they're good. They're solid.
It's a good watch.
Yeah, for sure.
And the second one is underrated, I think. The second one's pretty good, the one that's in New York, and that's what the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra is doing.
They're doing one of their great orchestra live in concert with the films. Mm-hmm. So while people are sitting, they'll be able to see the movie on the big screen in the Bradley Symphony Center.
And more traditional for the MSO, the Holiday Pops is back.
Yeah, so Hometown Holiday Pops is December 13th through 21st, also at the Bradley Symphony Center.
Back to the Marcus Performing Arts Center in the Wilson Theater. You have Black Arts MKE doing Black Nativity 10 years now.
Yeah, it's the 10th anniversary of Black Nativity, which is crazy. Like, I remember when that started. Time has flown. It's become such a beloved tradition for so many people. It's a pretty short run, but it's always a packed house. It's Langston Hughes' joyous musical about the Nativity through the perspective of African Americans.
You know, we should point out, too, that if you want to go see a show, it doesn't have to be a Christmas or a holiday show, right? There's other things.
So that would bring us to Skylight Music Theater that is doing the beloved Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Joseph, you know what they say.
Yeah, we've got Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber following the story of Joseph and his brothers in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
When we come back to the Wisconsin's Morning News Holiday Radio Show, a standout of the year. And welcome back into the Wisconsin's Morning News Holiday Special. My name is Greg Pancake Hill, the producer of this fine program, and I'll give Eric and Vince a little bit of a well-deserved holiday break, and I'll be taking you through the majority of the show. Now, what's a holiday without Christmas cookies? Of course, a tradition nearly a century in the making, the We Energy's Holiday Cookie Book. And becoming a tradition even more formative than that, Amy Johns from We Energy's stopping by our studio with samples of the cookie book on Wisconsin's Morning News.
A nearly century-old holiday tradition continues, not this weekend, but next will be your first opportunity to get your hands on the 2025 We Energy's Cookie Book. It's featured recipes from customers since 1928.
Happening today on Wisconsin's Morning News.
I thought you said it was next weekend. Indeed. But today, a somewhat newer tradition.
Powdered sugar's on the top.
Yeah. This is the white chocolate chip melted on top.
I bet you.
So now today is the annual tasting event and contest that We Energy's hosts at its headquarters. I will represent WTMJ this year.
Oh, lucky you.
As I did before. And we have Amy Johns from We Energy's in studio with us this morning. So, Amy, I understand some of this year's featured bakers, their recipes are in the book. They will be with us at today's event.
Yes, we will have several of those bakers at today's event. So this event that we do today is definitely all about getting a chance to taste some of the cookies that are in the book. We have our media friends come on by with those bakers, and we play some fun games and have great competition. And how many years have you won, Vince?
0 years I've won, but has Susan Kim RSVP'd from TMJ4?
Unfortunately, she's busy today, so maybe
have a competition again.
I don't know.
Wins all the time.
But Ben Handelman from Fox 6, he has won it 2 years in a row, so you have some stiff competition.
Well, so what will we learn, and can we reveal today, because I know the book is not out and doesn't come out officially until next week, some of the recipes that will be shared this year?
Right. So I did bring a couple cookies for you today that will not be in today's contest.
Okay.
So we have some molasses cookies, some zesty lime cookies, pumpkin cookies with cream cheese frosting.
These appear to have stuff in them.
Yeah,
what do you got in there?
That's your pumpkin cookies with a delicious maple cream cheese frosting. That is from a submitter that's from Elkhart Lake. It is delicious. There's some chocolate chips in there. Beautiful cookie. The story behind that is that the woman that baked them used to hide the pumpkin in there so that her daughter would eat more vegetables.
Tell you, every good parent's done it.
Classic strat.
Right.
No,
that's right.
We're eating sweets.
And
one more.
Yeah, you're holding on to the cherry nut slices. This is a great story behind this cookie. The woman who baked these cookies is 97 years old. She is as old as our cookie book tradition. She makes cookies every week. Still to this day, and these are some of her favorites, and she bakes them and hands them out to neighbors and friends.
Amy Johns is with us from We Energies. The annual cookie book comes out officially next week. I'll tell you a little bit about those distribution events coming up in a moment. The special relationship that you have built with your customers who want so badly to get in this book. I mean, ballpark the number of submissions you get every year.
This year we had 400 submissions. So we have to whittle that down to fit it in this book, because otherwise it would be a novel. So we have 37 of those recipes in this year's book. It is a process, though, to go through all of those recipes. We have to test all of those.
Yes, you have to.
Right. We have to do that.
I know.
So we bake them. We check the recipes. We taste them. We do this is overall great. This looks good. This tastes good. Maybe this is a little dry. We make sure that we really get in depth with these cookies to figure out what our customers might like. And we like to keep a variety of cookies. We don't want a cookie book that's all full of chocolate chip cookies. We want to make sure that you have a lot to choose from. And I think there's some really great ones in this year's book.
You know, you've been doing this for over a century, and the cookie book, at least locally, has become an integral part, I think, of the holiday tradition for so many people. But trends change over the years, and cooking is no different. How do you guys adapt when you're deciding what goes in this book? Does that come into your mind at all of like, what do people want to eat versus what's the best cookie?
Absolutely. I think that we've heard requests for, can we get gluten-free cookies? Can we get cookies that have less sugar for maybe diabetics and stuff like that? So those are all under consideration. But truly, because we ask our customers to submit those recipes, it's really up to them what they send us. And we go through all those submissions and really come up with some great ideas to put it all together in this book.
The 2025 We Energies Cookie Book will begin distribution at events throughout the state next weekend. What can you tell us about that? The big deal at American Family Field is still on as a major kickoff.
American Family Field, November 1st. Also Fox City Stadium in Appleton on that same day from 9 to 1. But we have over 24 distribution drive-through events in Wisconsin, from Franklin to Jefferson. We've got places all over that you can pick up this cookie. It's also available online November 1st, so you can go to our website and download it from there.
There is that, but still you find so many people want to hold the book.
Of course, you want to hold it. You want to thumb through it. You want to get your butter and your sugar stuck on each page. So this is a love tradition. It's something that people collect. I've seen Facebook groups that pop up where collectors are looking for each and every year. They have to have that full collection. They really love it. It is a tradition. It's a way to kick off their holiday season.
It's almost impossible to pick your favorite cookie. When we come back, the best holiday shows to see in Milwaukee. Now, a few have passed, but some still to look forward to. We check in with Katie Couric next. The Wisconsin's Morning News Holiday Radio Show. And here on Wisconsin's Morning News, we highlight the standouts of the year. And one of these standouts has made an unbelievable impact almost immediately to the Milwaukee public school system. Superintendent Brenda Caselius inherited quite the situation and has excelled. Here is Vince and Eric's conversations with our standout of the year.
The 2025 Wisconsin's Morning News standout of the year is Milwaukee Public Schools Superintendent Dr. Brenda Caselius.
I motion to name Dr. Brenda Caselius as the lone finalist for the Milwaukee Public Schools Superintendent position.
On a chilly February night, After an 8-month search, the Milwaukee Board of School Directors named Dr. Brenda Caselius its choice for superintendent.
I've been looking at Milwaukee for quite a while. They have a student population that matches the purpose of what I believe is my life work.
A busy day 3 on the job for Dr. Brenda Caselius as she...
When you applied for this position, did you think you were going to start March 15th and have the boots on the ground already?
I did not.
Caselius came to a district in peril. The last superintendent resigned due to inaccurate and missing financial reports. District scores were low. By court order, SROs were just returning to schools, and oh, by the way, there's a lead problem in some of the buildings.
We are doing everything we can. We probably are using up every paint contractor who is lead certified in the community and across the state, and calling on getting more for the summer to get this work done.
She came in and she wasn't afraid to say, hey, we have been making mistakes and now it's time to clean that up.
101.7 The Truth's Kyle Wallace. Among the changes, major overhauls to the central office. Eliminating positions, and sending more staff into the school building.
A lot of people who know MPS knows MPS used to have a lot of, I would say, fat inside a central office. And she told folks, listen, we are educators, and first and foremost, we need to be in the classrooms. And so people got sent back to the classroom, have been in central office, having pretty good jobs. So major player was shaking things up.
Caselius hired a consultant to help with the financial reporting. She enhanced the quality of the food being served. She targeted student attendance and truancy and has begun the process of merging low enrollment schools. The biggest challenge ahead? Ensuring students are the top priority.
It's not about who you may go back inside the classroom. It's not about, you know, turning in paperwork on time. It's about getting the results from the students. Until we see these test scores for these students in Milwaukee public schools go up, then we're still going to be questioning whether or not she is the right person. So she needs to make sure that these students are achieving reading, writing, arithmetic, and all that. That's what matters the most.
A challenge Caselius isn't shying away from.
We have children centered in every decision that we make.
I think there's a really great promise here, and we're really excited.
So today's standout of the year on Wisconsin's Morning News, Superintendent Dr. Brenda Caselius, who joins us in studio on the program. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
We have nothing to present to you. We haven't created a plaque or anything, so I guess you'll just have to take our congratulations.
Oh, well, thank you so much. What an honor. You know, no one person does this work alone. It takes a whole team and a whole community, and I'm just really grateful to the Milwaukee community for everything that they've done for our kids.
It's been quite a year for you to come into the city and then to have all of these things to handle. Where to start? I mean, when you came in, was it the lead? Was it the financial reports? Where did you have to put your focus first?
Well, fortunately, when I first came in, I apologize for my voice.
Yeah, and thank you for coming. I know you're playing hurt.
So I sound a little different on the radio. Fortunately, when I came in, the governor had done an operational audit, which really gave great direction on what needed to be focused on. And, you know, from your spot right before I got on here, you know, I wasn't expecting to come right away in March. I was expecting to come in July. But I knew that the work couldn't wait because of the lead in the schools. And so having our schools safe for our students was our number one priority, and we needed to get started on that right away. Had to shift leadership there and begin to focus on what was going to be our lead action plan to be able to clean up all of our schools. We've been able to clean up 106 schools a month ahead of schedule. And so opened up school, super proud of our facilities team, JCP Contracting, who worked with us this summer. We had floods, we had heat, we had all kinds of setbacks, and still we opened up school successfully for our teachers and for our students and families, and that was quite the accomplishment.
Dr. Brenda Caselius is with us, MPS superintendent. Would you make the case, and I've made it as well, but Eric and I, when we choose these standouts of the year, we look for people with a statewide impact. And I think it'd be easy for someone sitting in Washington County or Jefferson County to say, well, I don't even live in Milwaukee County, much less city of Milwaukee. My kids don't go to MPS. Of what does it matter to me whether MPS succeeds or fails? Could you make the case to the statewide impact that MPS has?
Yeah, so, you know, large urban cities, you know, are business centers for the state, right? And our children are our future, and they fuel whether we succeed or not. And I think that anytime you can make an investment in children who are most vulnerable, that then has an investment in the overall well-being of everyone. Senator Paul Wellstone in Minnesota would always say before he passed away, we all do better when we all do better. And I just truly, like truly one. Believe that, you know, if Milwaukee does well and the children of Milwaukee do well, then the entire state will do well.
Have there been any unanticipated challenges that, yeah, oftentimes, and I think this is a broad stroke, but we'll make the argument sometimes that, oh, well, you come in and, oh, the council is gonna give someone a hard time, or a school board. I'll say a school board, not the school board. a school board could be in the way, or unions get in the way. Is there been anything that's been, okay, this is a hurdle that's been harder to clear?
Well, I think all the hurdles have been hard to clear.
Yeah, fair enough.
The district had a lot of challenges. You know, obviously, for many decades, to no blame of any one person or any one team, but a number of things within the district need a significant systems level attention, which has been quite challenging, and I would say the most challenging of my entire 36-year career. Trying to come in and really unravel some of the bigger blocks that, you know, most of us know about from that we've heard about in the governor's audit. And so just addressing those one by one by one, I've been really fortunate to have big support from the board. They supported some of the harder decisions that I've had to make. I anticipate that they understand the significant decisions that we have to make in the future as well. I think they just want to make sure that we do the care and communications with the community to make sure that they're brought along and that they've been properly engaged. And so, you know, some of these things might take a little bit more time than I'd probably like. But I think it's really important that we have full buy-in from the full Milwaukee community who are impacted by really some of these significant cuts and closing and merging of schools decisions that I'm going to have to make over the next 2 to 5 years.
This is not unique to City of Milwaukee or MPS by any stretch, but education spending in general. It's expensive to educate young people. And when we look at MPS's budget, I think you're north of $1.5 billion this year. And again, this is not unique to MPS. You find a district anywhere in the state of Wisconsin, whatever they pass the budget, you have these cries of it's not enough.
Yeah.
It's not enough. It's not enough. We still need more funding. We need more funding. We need more funding from the state or from these folks or that. And I've sometimes complained, well, then what's the number? If it's not $1.5 or $1.6 billion, like what is the number to educate your 60, 70,000 people in the city of Milwaukee?
Well, I'm trying to get to the bottom of that. Obviously, you know that we had this financial snarl where we're in corrective action with the state. We finished our 23 audit in January. We finished the 24 audit in September. We are now trying to finish the 25 audit here by the end of the calendar year. I think that, getting to know where every single dollar is being spent and making sure that we prioritize classroom teachers is our number one goal. We had an HR audit that showed that many of our resources weren't actually targeted into the classroom. And that's important for us to know so that we can shift that balance. But what that's going to mean is that there will be significant reshifting of dollars. Once I have that, then I'll know exactly what that number is. What I do know for a fact here in Wisconsin is that we are short on the dollars that are needed to fund the full educational experience and services for students with disabilities. And so most recently, the legislature passed for us to get 42% of our revenues covered for the costs. And that means then we would cover the other 58%. And well, when you cover that other 58%, obviously that means that that comes from the larger pot, which means it comes from all students, right? And so right thing to do, we need to cover the services that students who have complex disabilities need, but we need to also be sure that we're also providing for all students. And so if they could find a way to shift the legislation so that they're funding at the capacities that they said they were going to fund, which was the 42%, and currently the state is telling us it's 35%, that would be incredibly helpful to us, particularly in Milwaukee, where 22% of our students have disabilities. That's a significant amount and almost double the national average.
Feels like that number is going up, too, across the board, too, right? Like just some type of disability, whether it's physical or mental or something like that. It seems like every kid across the country is dealing with something now.
You know, particularly because now we're experiencing some of our students who were born during COVID, who didn't get services during COVID, and they're significantly behind, or they have significant disabilities that were just not caught. And so then they appear more severe because they didn't have early intervention. And so it's trying to find those interventions a lot earlier so that it's not so expensive later. But we are also seeing the rise in autism. And that is, you know, every child who comes with autism comes uniquely abled to our classrooms. And so every child has different ways that they are needing to get supports. And that makes it harder to standardize your care for each and individual child. And so we're going to be looking at a special ed audit in the end of March to be able to do a deep dive to make sure that we are catching kids early. We have the right ways to identify students early and that we're programming them appropriately, particularly at the earlier grades, so that we can make sure that they get everything that they need and deserve.
MPS Superintendent Dr. Brenda Casilius joins us in studio. She is a WTMJ Standout of the Year. It's today's unveiling. Let's do this. Can we give you 2 minutes to get a drink of water? I know you've been fighting it. And we'll take a break. We'll come right back just to take a quick break.
Stick around when we come back. More with Dr. Brenda Casilius, our Wisconsin's Morning News Standout of the Year.
On Wisconsin's Morning News, we're speaking live in studio with Dr. Brenda Casilius, superintendent for Milwaukee Public Schools. She is our second named standout of the year for Wisconsin's Morning News. I wanted to ask you a specific question. We've been largely focused on big picture here, but did you want to end the contract long term with Karman Northwest? It seemed like as things ultimately played out, and there were a lot of folks rallying to save Karman is a charter school within MPS. It seemed it bought another year of time to help families and students prepare. But correct me if I'm wrong, but I've sort of read into your commentary at the school board meeting as thinking that maybe you didn't want that ultimate outcome.
No, Milwaukee has chosen to have a system of choice for parents for over 30 years. And so it's not my job to come and change that system of choice. You know, my job is to improve the Milwaukee Public Schools and, quite honestly, compete. And the only way that we do that is by bettering our own education. So I've been extremely busy, obviously, with lead, implementing SROs, testing our students for lead, you know, filling vacancies and dealing with the financial crisis and, you know, among other things. And our team actually was leading the walkthroughs and their contract services team leading the walkthroughs and doing all of that work. So I didn't have a lot of time to spend on this school particularly and understanding a lot of what they were doing in the review. But I trusted my team, you know, with the review that they had brought the proposal. So they brought the proposal for a 3-year renewal. You know, obviously Karman had, when that renewal, even a lot of work to do to improve their scores too, much like many of us at Milwaukee Public Schools. Mm-hmm. And so, but I didn't want them to have to, you know, end their contract at the end of the year. I didn't feel that that was fair to families, and I shared that with the board. And so I felt like this was a fair compromise to bring forward that they would have an additional year and a half to get a new authorizer and to get a new building. And hopefully that's gonna work out well for them.
So it occurs to me, like, everybody loves a reformer until you start messing with their stuff, right? Oh, we need to reform this. Well, not my stuff. I like what I like.
Right, yeah.
Right? Well, and that must be a challenge for you.
Well, in Milwaukee Public Schools, you know, we are going to be raising the bar on our schools as well. And so there will be significant work that we have to do to prove to the community that we can get to the academic achievement. Yes, we have to clean up lead. Yes, we have to clean up our finances. Yes, we have to clean up our vacancies and making sure that we're getting a highly qualified, caring, loving teacher in every single classroom. But we also have to get to academic achievement. It is unacceptable that our students are reading at the levels that they are reading, and that our Black students in particular are scoring on these exams the worst out of any large urban district nationwide. And we just can't accept that any longer. Our children deserve better. And so we're going to do better. You know, when you know better, you do better. And that's what we're going to do.
Is there a district across the country in another urban area that seems to be knocking out of the park where you're like, you know what, this school, this district is doing it right.
Well, even just south of us, Chicago is seeing growth numbers in the work that they're doing. We're seeing growth in Birmingham, Alabama, and San Diego, and all measures just really knocking it out of the park. And, you know, these are large urbans who manage a lot of the same kind of, you know, complexities that we do, like a poverty or complexities around language barriers, et cetera. And so we are going to be learning from them and working with them nationally.
You ever wish you could just teach a class again?
I love teaching. It was one of my favorite things, and I consider myself a practitioner, actually, now. And I get into classrooms now, and I do a lot of coaching with teachers. So, you know, I may not be planning the curriculum and in the classrooms, but I do when I go on my visits, when I'm on an instructional visit, I go and I actually speak to teachers about their instruction. I ask two questions when I go in a classroom. Are students learning, and how could they have learned better? Because those are two questions that you really can't get defensive about, you know. And so they're just two questions to really explore how we did our planning, how we aligned to standards, and how we're assessing learning within our classroom for every single child.
And I don't know if I'd want you walking into my classroom, though, to observe. I'd be like, oh, great. The boss is in here now.
A lot of teachers in my family, like, observation always is a challenge. And then are you – but, you know, it's the pop-in that gets you.
Well, when I go –
because otherwise you prepare the very special.
When I go to classrooms, I dress in jeans. I have – you know, I totally dress down so that it's more of a colleague. I go by my first name, Brenda, with everybody. You know, I just want to try to break down – this culture of like hierarchy. I am no better than anybody else. You know, I am a coach and a colleague, and I hope that's the way that our teachers and our paraprofessionals and our principals see me.
Well, we are wishing you the best of luck. We know that it's a challenge. We know that you've been given it yeoman's work. And actually, just real quickly, want to appreciate the amount of time you've given to quote unquote the media. We've seen a lot of you, which is — that's abnormal. Yeah, that's abnormal.
Transparency is important.
Yeah, yeah. And I know it's early on still, you know, in year three, hopefully we're still seeing you this much.
She never returns our calls anymore. I know.
You'll see me. I love Milwaukee. I love the community. The people have been so welcoming. It's just easy to talk with all of you. And I think it's important that people see the really good work that's going on in Milwaukee Public Schools. Yes, we have a lot to clean up, but you can expect great things from us. You know, I think that our Montessori's, our IB schools, our art schools. I was just out at even our alternative school, Grappi High School, and seeing the beautiful artwork that our kiddos are doing. And I just am like, everybody needs to see this. Everybody needs to see the wonderful brilliance of our children and the great work our teachers are doing every day.
Brenda Caselius, the MPS superintendent, our WDTMJ standout of the year. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us for the Wisconsin's Morning News Holiday Radio Show. And listen, if I'm producing this, that means I'm gonna be in it. And it's very apropos of the holiday gatherings. This, my friends, is your cheat sheet. This is the best holiday burns. This is the pancake breakfast special on how to survive around the holidays.
What about breakfast?
We've already had it.
We've had one, yes. What about second breakfast?
December 5th, holidays quickly approaching. You know, the time you gather with your family, whether you like them or not, to eat, share gifts, and possibly maybe a few insults.
Happy holidays!
There's always that one person in the family that is the butt of the joke. Let me tell you something, if you're thinking to yourself, my family doesn't have that person, you are that person.
It's you.
Maybe. Now, if you are that person, that's okay, I got you. Well, me and the comedy trio Don't Destroy. Maybe you've heard of these guys before. They got famous during the pandemic. They made YouTube skits and videos. They were hired, and they're on SNL. They're writers on SNL. They've had a lot of success. They do, like, kind of the shorts, like the short little skits. Pretty good. They are pretty funny. So they have partnered with White Claw, the beverage, to help you out. If you need a little assistance with your roast game around the table, these guys got you. And let me tell you, no one is safe, including the know-it-all.
Here's a fun fact. None of your facts are fun.
And every dynamic at the dinner table is covered. like the narcissist.
They say the greatest love is between a parent and a child, but actually it's between you and the sound of your own voice.
And maybe for the gamer in your family.
I hope that one day you beat the real final boss, your parents' disappointment.
Or maybe that one relative with questionable fashion decisions.
You dress like your vision board had a panic attack.
And listen, maybe there's a mixture in there, right?
I have to admit, your outfit does an incredible job hiding the monster underneath.
that one, the first hour of that one, that made me laugh.
That's nuclear, though. Like, that's, you gotta be ready,
you
to
gotta
end
lead
it.
I mean, I didn't play it first on purpose. Yeah. All right, so what this trio did, they partnered with White Claw. They have a website that will literally generate a series of roasts for you based on criteria you enter about whoever you want to roast. And we're going to make one right now.
I don't like where this is going.
Between the three of us. No, you will like this is going. This okay. is not about anybody. We will not use okay. names. But I'm going to go to the website, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to make a roast right now. So I'm going to list off a bunch of qualifications to put into this thing. So they say type the friend's name. We're going to be WTM Jim, just to put there. Okay, your friend's role, we're going to choose one. The planner, the therapist, the hot mess, the chill one, or the know-it-all. Who do you guys want to go for?
I can't stomach the know-it-all.
Okay, you want the know-it-all
yeah,
then?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, the know-it-all. What does this friend like? We have five categories. I'm sorry, more than that. We have a few. Fitness, fashion, gaming, pop culture, sports, outdoors, and music. We can pick up to three. I would only pick two. I've done three that kind of mishmash a bunch of jokes. I would do two to keep it. So I got fitness, fashion, gaming, pop culture, sports, outdoors, and music. Remember, you picked know-it-all.
Right. So sports for sure.
Okay, sports right? is
they
in there.
They know everything about your team.
Sure, so, and let's do one more.
Fashion?
Fashion? Yeah, sure. You want to do fashion. All right. So, and then I'll hit this button. We will generate the roast. I have not heard this, and we will see.
This is happening in real time.
This is happening in real time. It's rendering the video right now. If you want to explore this yourself, please go to text Pancake to the Siding Unlimited WTMJ Talk and text line 855-616-1620. All right. We have the video. Are you ready? Here we go.
Close friends roast friends.
So this holiday, your close friend just wanted to say,
you know, you're kind of a know-it-all.
You're the reason group chats go silent.
You're what happens when confidence gets bad directions.
It must be so hard having to talk loud enough to be heard over the sound of everyone rolling their eyes.
Sports fans are just underachievers in a uniform. You've got all the passion of an athlete, minus the talent, discipline, and cardio.
You treat sports fandom like a full-time job that doesn't pay and nobody respects.
You spend your Sundays screaming advice at millionaire athletes while you're eating chips on the couch.
You treat fashion like it's going out of style.
You spend so much money to dress like you're broke.
They say dress for the job you want. So it looks like you're applying for the position of art teacher's trash can.
You dress like your vision board had a panic attack. Happy holidays from your friends and from White Claw and from us. Now return the roast at whiteclaw.com. Cheers.
Cheers.
All right, this is
the worst.
Yeah, there you go. So you kind of have it. So if you need a little assistance maybe at the dinner table this holiday season or whatever gathering you may have, I got you covered. Again, Pancake. Text Pancake to the WTMJ Siding Unlimited talk and text line 855-616-1620.
Happy holidays!
Stick around, more Wisconsin's Morning News Holiday Radio Show coming up. We'll be right back.